GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show and our friend from Modern Pest Services. He's on line three, George. It's Mike Peasley with What's Bugging You. You want to say hi to Mike? He's
hey,
right there.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you this morning, George?
Well, it's considering we're on the 29th day of January, and I look out and I'm seeing bare ground in places around the compound here, and the streets are okay, and I'm down to 3 weeks of winter or less, and my winter is going to end up fairly soon.
Showing great restraint, not flipping off George behind the bulletproof glass.
Rick is yeah. Putting fingers in the air.
Yeah.
All five of them.
By the way, that glass is bulletproof.
Yeah, because it's a polar coaster of a winter, as our friend Peter Geiger of the Farmer's Almanac published in Lewiston told us, does that have any special effect on your job? Warm again, cold again, warm again, cold again. Is that causing some creatures that should be sleeping to wake up early?
Yeah, there's definitely some things that typically wouldn't be very active this late in January when it should be, this really should be our coldest part of the year. But we are definitely seeing and getting calls from people that have insects that are active, ants, lady beetles, clusterflies, some of those different beetles and insects that come in the fall to overwinter have been pretty active here, the last few days, the last week or so. It's just, a strange winter, I guess. We just don't know. Is this global warming or what is it?
We'll welcome the fact.
It definitely has an impact on things.
We'll welcome the fact that some of the bugs are maybe showing up right now because of the warm again, cold again weather, as long as that means that they won't be as big a pest come springtime. But I'm guessing that we shouldn't bet money on that, should we, Mike?
No, I don't think so. There's a likelihood of that. The only way that the weather really impacts the insects really badly is if we get multiple days where it's really warm, probably in the, the 50s, and then the temperature crashes dramatically very, very quickly. That can definitely have, I've seen that happen at times in the past. And that can have an impact on the populations that will survive through the winter. So that can reduce the insect populations in the spring if we get that type of occurrence, but it's probably not likely to happen.
In our wonderful world of the internet, we often see the hoax about snow snake. It's been out there for a while. Somebody will put up a picture and say, this is a deadly snow snake, which generally, is a big hoax. But my question would be, where do the snakes, whatever snakes we have, and where do they go in the wintertime?
They basically become dormant, just like most animals that are outside. Their food source isn't there. They're cold-blooded, so they don't, I shouldn't say they go dormant, they're just not active. But most of the time, snakes are living in, piles of debris, brush piles, rock, rock walls, things of that nature. And they're just basically laying low and not moving, not active in the winter.
The biggest cold-blooded snake that I know takes a plane ticket ride to Florida and goes away for about a month or so. Hey, look, Mike, do us a favor. Could you go stand closer to a window? We know you're on your cell phone, and we want to be able to clearly hear your answers to some of the questions that are coming into us in the MTG text line right now at 601-207-GHRT, 601-207-4478. This person writes to us, I've noticed a discernible lower level of spiders and mice this winter all over. They're not in the barn. They're not in the wood piles. They're not in the house. Is there a disease out there, like with bats, that might be taking out our population of spiders and mice over the winter, Mike?
No, there's no diseases as there are with the white nose syndrome that has affected the bat population. It's really just one of those cyclical things where populations, increase and decrease naturally based on habitat opportunities, food, et cetera. We certainly haven't seen the mice like we did the last few winters, that's for sure. We're still getting calls from people that have mice. We're still finding mice on a regular basis. But the populations just seem to be down this year compared to the past couple of winters.
Mm. And again, stay close to that window if you could, Mike, so we could hear your answer to this question. This person writes, I have a mouse in my truck that I only use on the weekend. I'm pretty sure he's talking about only using the truck on the weekend and not the mouse. A little.
I'm wondering what the mouse is. Does the mouse drive well?
A little direct object sentence confusion there. This person says, how can I prevent this from happening? Because apparently that rascal of a mouse ate an entire apple crisp pie in about 2 weeks, minus the crust. Somehow an apple crisp pie got left in the vehicle and the mouse ate it up.
Well, obviously, Rick, my first suggestion would be not to leave the apple crisp pie in the truck so that you're not attracting the mouse to it. You know, just anything like that. And, you know, so if you've got something for a food source there, it's going to attract mice. There are a variety of commercial products that are available at local hardware stores, big box stores, online, et cetera, that are repellent, that are made to be able to put in and around vehicles that, you know, like people that have antique vehicles, things like that, that aren't driven regularly, that are reported, at least. I haven't used them personally, so I can't say, but that are reported to, you know, be fairly effective at keeping rodents away from those vehicles. I would recommend that as well as, you know, let's get rid of the pie and anything else that we can that may make the vehicle attractive for them.
Immediately, someone writes a text message and suggests mothballs. Yeah. In the vehicle would probably go a long way. At least that's what they say. Mothballs in the vehicle.
I know that you know. I think we've had that recommendation numerous times, and I have heard many people say that it does work. Mothballs are a registered insecticide, and are not registered by the Environmental Protection Agency to be used for that. Mm. So I can't make that recommendation.
And again, Mike, do us a favor, stay right close to that window. We're trying to get a best signal as we can as you answer. Oh, my word. Did you see the text message? The guy that sent us a photo, George? The guy found a mouse in his heat pump.
Oh, really?
Oh. And he writes to us, gross. Yes, yes, it is. Who would have thought that Hickory Dickory Dock, the mouse somehow made his way up the wall and into the... you got to figure that mouse has got to be pretty, well, brave and energetic in order to come in through the outside heating unit to be able to scamper through the unit and then get stuck on the other side in the wall-mounted unit in the house. I guess we should realize, Mike, that mice can get anywhere they got a mind to go.
Yeah, they're, you know, and of course, in the cold weather, one of the things that are going to attract mice or any kind of rodent is warmth. So that heat pump, anything that's producing warmth, if you've got a mouse around the outside, it's going to attract them to that area. And they can go through, you know, very small openings, about 6 millimeters. Most people say, you know, if you get a gap around a pipe or anything like that, that you can fit a number two pencil in, a mouse can squeeze through that opening.
Years ago, go ahead.
So I would recommend, you know, inspecting, you know, the electrical connections, any type of connections on that and around that unit, and sealing up around it as much as at all possible to minimize the ability for them to get in, because they're going to be attracted to it just because of the warmth.
Years ago, in flying airplanes, we used to have to make sure we plugged a few holes because they would crawl in and make a nest. You didn't want that. But maybe it's a good time to, if your car particularly is left outside, to lift the hood every once in a while and take a look inside. You might find something you're not looking for.
A stowaway.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And again, you know, you drive your car home after work, before you leave Florida, George. And, you know, it's warm. You've got a mouse in the area. He's going to be attracted to that vehicle. And with the insulation under the hood, et cetera, it provides opportunity for them to get in to build nest in it. They'd much rather be there than outdoors where they're exposed to the elements more. And again, you know, we've talked about this. There are, you know, some of the newer vehicles, the wiring is actually made with a soy base, provides a food source for them. So there's some vehicle manufacturers that have had some pretty substantial issues with rodent damage to wires because of that wiring.
Did you just say that they're making some electrical wires in newer vehicles out of soy or soy-based, and that's why the mice are coming to feast?
Yeah, it's part of companies wanting to be green and reducing the plastic things that, you know, that typically would be used for coatings on the outside of wiring. but there are some that are actually made with a soy-based material.
Well, I suppose if we're going to use, I suppose if we're going to use ethanol in our fuel out of corn, it makes sense that someone would try to use some sort of soy-based wiring in a vehicle. What other calls are you and your colleagues at Modern Pest Services answering for the most part these days?
We, as I mentioned, we're definitely getting some calls about ants. If you've got ants nesting inside the house on these days where it's, you know, relatively warm for this time of year, the sun beating on the side of the house, the ants are starting to become active in some situations. A lot of the overwintering things, like I mentioned, clusterflies, ladybugs, that sort of thing, as well as mice. Mice is certainly still the number one thing for the winter.
Well, my next worry will be alligators, but
maybe you should take some of those mice down.
throw them.
When the gator goes after it, you run in the other direction.
No, I actually I go to a place where they do feed the alligators, and they like chicken. They're very healthy. They love chicken.
Well, those rats taste like chicken, I hear. Tim writes to us
everything tastes like chicken.
Yeah, Tim writes an email to you. I have a flying squirrel in my house, eating everything in sight. We have hidden all our food and baited some traps. It doesn't go near the traps. How in the world can I catch that flying squirrel? Asks Tim.
The most effective way to deal with a flying squirrel, truthfully, rather than trying to trap it, is to exclude them from where they're coming and going, which is a matter of inspecting the house, finding openings that they're going in and out through. And sealing those openings up by putting up one-way doors to allow them to get out and not be able to get back in, and then permanently sealing the openings when they're gone. Trapping them is a little bit of, you know, just a Band-Aid, but it's not the long-term effective solution for that problem.
Anybody else got an image of Rocky the Flying Squirrel and Bullwinkle as we read that email from the guy? And by the way, I wonder, I can just picture that squirrel flying around the house. He knows it's there. Maybe if we send him one of those nets on a stick.
You might possibly catch one that way, but more likely they're probably more active when you're not really going to be, you know, sitting right there watching TV in the evening, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So your odds of getting one with a net probably aren't very good.
This person writes, I've lived in my house for 15 years with no out-of-the-ordinary bug issues until 3 years ago when I got infested with box elders. They now show up late in the summer. They multiply by the hundreds. Now that it's winter, I do kill a couple a week in the house. Where do they come from and how do I get rid of them? And they write, help, in all capital letters with 3 exclamation points at the end of their email, their text message to you, Mike.
Yeah, those are actually insects that live outside that are coming from the trees in the surrounding area. And just like a lot of the insects that we deal with, as the weather gets cold, they start moving around looking for places to hold the winter. And your house provides a great environment for them to spend that winter in. And then you get, you know, the little bit of the warmth in the day, the sun shining on the house, it warms up that wall void where they're nesting. And you get a few of them that come out in the house. The best way to deal with that, truthfully, is to have the exterior of the house treated in the fall to help prevent them from getting in, rather than trying to deal with them already in.
Mike Peasley from Modern Pest Services. Mike, next time we're going to make a connection, a better telephone connection with you to have you on the radio so we can clearly hear your answers for the people, because they got questions and you got answers and we want them to be able to hear them. Have a great time and we'll talk to you again soon. Okay, Mike?
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Have a great day, guys.
Our friend Kristen Maley, the president of Good Shepherd Food Bank, dials in next with Hunger in Focus on the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.